Blog Talk Radio.
It is Sunday, March 5th, 2017, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in America. I'm Grant and Taylor Hughes for my show, The Grant and Taylor Hughes Show, with my guest host each week, Gabriella Foster, who is on vacation. However, we need to cover a lot of information this evening. And the one thing I had mentioned last week, our call this week is 30 minutes and not the 15 from last week, so we sorted that issue. And that's part of what I was discussing last week, even with the Blog Talk Radio administration having their issues about being overwhelmed with emails and just all sorts of things that we see is happening really internationally on the internet, the computer internet and what have you, having been overwhelmed with information and then not being able to address it. Excuse me. I minored in economics in college, and they always said that it should have been my major because I was considered one time an economic expert, probably the number one trust expert and economics expert at one time. I wasn't really proclaiming that, but other people had touted me as such. Now, having said that, you can see that it becomes a supply-side problem where you get huge demand and being overwhelmed without being able to address things, meaning you can't supply information or to answer questions and what have you because you're being overwhelmed because your administration can't address the issues. For instance, there's been a lot of companies in the past, and I can remember Liz Taylor at one time, Elizabeth Taylor for the young people. Sometimes they don't remember these great celebrities, but most people remember Elizabeth Taylor. She was in a lot of different films and played Virginia Woolf. She won an Academy Award and all that stuff. But anyway, she had, once she retired, she had a line of a perfume line that obviously became very famous because she was so famous. And this story runs the gambit. You can probably remember a lot in your own particular experiences that other people have had these problems where they get huge demand but can't meet the supply. So that means that in this particular situation, it happened to her where she was getting an overwhelming amount of demand for the perfume, and her manufacturers just couldn't supply it. It just became too much, and they went out of business in a very short time. So that story runs the gambit of a lot of people are saying, well, I'd like to have a lot of product to be able to sell and have a huge clientele to buy it. But then there's a balance. There's an economic balance in that whole thing. We don't consider that sometimes. Just like online, everybody wants to get all this money and what have you, but if you can't meet the demand, then you're going out of business as much as you can't sell the product that you do have. So there's a fine balance in all things, and that's what I was trying to point out last week, that if the Blog Talk Radio people review my show, I'm glad to help any way I can. I'm in full support of what you people need to do because I'm very sympathetic to the problems. There was a good example of, I know there's a lot of people interested in the lottery out there, and they have all these lottery methods and what have you, try to win the lottery, mathematics things. And I was actually looking at one, just reviewing some of these things in terms of our discussion about the problems of overwhelming demand. And there was this one group that was explaining how you can win the lottery and you had some interesting methods. But when you go to subscribe to it, you push it, it shifts you over to another website, which has related to the topic. And then you can never really pay the money to get involved with it. So I know there's thousands of these, maybe not thousands, but hundreds of these websites, maybe thousands, I don't know, because you're talking about many billions of, well, there's about 3 billion people that are involved with computer, and that's another issue about, you're dealing with 7.5 billion people, according to the census, and only still a minority are dealing in computers. You got 4.5 billion people that are computer illiterate. So when we say that computers have taken over the world, that's not true at all. So we've got to get rid of that attitude. But in the process of the ones that are involved, there's just getting this overwhelming non-ability to meet the demand. And that's becoming an issue that people are not addressing. It's not being addressed. I'm probably the only one talking about it right now, because you're just like in this lottery method, you couldn't even subscribe to it. You know, it's not even in America. They use the word scam. Everything's a scam. You know, if you don't understand it, it's a scam. In other words, the attention level is so poor that they can't get clarity on the information. And that's the whole point. The overwhelming thing is that you declare that it's negative and I'm not involved. Okay. And that's an immaturity, in my opinion, that we're not taking the time to really resolve issues and get into the thick of it in terms of details. So that becomes the problem. But when you have companies and websites and what have you that cannot address emails or answer anything, that becomes they're being overwhelmed, okay? Being overwhelmed in terms of not being able to address things linearly. And in other words, they're closed off to be able to give supply. Albeit they may still be in business, they may be taking money and what have you, and they're all apologetic. Nobody really wants to do this. Nobody really wanted to see that it would be this overwhelming issue involving not being able to perform completely. Nobody really wants to do that. So I'm trying to be a voice of reason in this whole thing, that we're all trying to work together. And I'm of the opinion that very few charlatans are out there in terms of the true malfeasance. They're trying to do a lot of negativity. I think it's very rare. I know there's a percentage of it, but most of the time we're trying to put our best foot forward to do the level best, but we run into issues we hadn't considered because we can do so much analysis. We can only do so much analysis. And then when we go into practice, I'm always talking about theory, law, and practice. And you can see that law and practice are not on the same page. A lot of times in practice, we're not really expressing the law or practicing the law. And people say, well, why is that? Well, because the fact the law is an ideal. It's a great idea, but when you go to practice, it doesn't work. And you say, well, is it illegal? Well, illegal is a statutory term in the bankruptcy term. Lawful would be right. It's not necessarily lawful, but again, law is an ideal. Like theory is an ideal. We can talk about things all day long, but put it in practice, it doesn't work. Just like when we're talking about the money issue about specie currency, it doesn't work. It's a great idea in terms of theory. It's a great but it caused world wars. It caused millions of people to die, and that's horrible. We know that. That practice is horrible. But then we've talked some, not recently, involving the Sescovay Trust in the courtroom, meaning that people were declared dead in 1666 because it was a misinterpretation of sovereignty. In other words, if you aren't contracted sovereign, essentially you are dead. You're like cannon fodder for the legal worlds and the medical worlds and what have you, and you wonder why the people are dying of a lot of different things. But then again, the life expectancy seemingly is better than it used to be, but now we're talking about the quality of life. Well, what do people look like when they're 100 years old? Are they all crippled up in wheelchairs and shriveled up and looking bad, basically, would be the term. Just like in Philadelphia's story, Jimmy Stewart said, well, that would be bad. I thought, okay, that's a really interesting term, highfalutin term. Anyway, so it is. I mean, from the standpoint that we're not healthy, and therefore, in my opinion, health is your wealth. If you're not healthy, what good is it to be rich if you die the next day? It's not good. It's not a good. It's a bad thing. There you go. Good and bad. I guess I'm doing pretty good without my co-host. Excuse me. He said as he chokes, I need to drink some water, so there'll be a pause. Sorry about that. And then I'm talking about health, and then I'm choking, right? Oh boy, funny stuff. So sorry about that lull. And I was drinking some water so I wouldn't be choking. Anyway, so it's very important that we understand the economic balance, because even though, again, it's a theoretical premise, in practice, we have to get out there and do empiricism. It was like in the Silicon Valley years ago. They used to do one of the examples, and these are old things that people probably, I don't even know if Byte magazine still exists, B-Y-T-E. I don't know if it even exists, but the example was, and I'm just giving examples because there's a generic thing across the board with this, and they probably still do that. I haven't analyzed this in a long time. Well, they'll advertise things and take money, but they don't really have a product. They have the advertising, they may have one prototype and a picture of it. It reminded me of the first Macintosh computer when I saw it. They had a picture, but they only had the picture of the Mac, so it didn't have any like a vase or something next to it to scale it, to see how big it was and all that. So you really couldn't tell what it was because you didn't have anything to compare it to. So then I tell this anecdote about going into Patrick Wozniak's Apple dealership and Milpitas years ago, and if people realized Milpitas was really the hotbed for the computers at one time, the personal computers, the PCs. And I went into his dealership, and I've told this before, but it's been a long time. It's really funny. And so we were walking into this dealership, and it was mostly like a church. Like you had to be real quiet, and everybody was dressed like the IBM people with your your dark blue jacket and gray slacks, and everybody was dressed to the nines. And I'm going in there, and it's all mauve colors and very beautiful and very nice, and everybody's being very quiet and soft-spoken. So I'm walking around, and a good friend of mine was taking me across the hallway and to look at the Mac and one of the they had those dividers in the old days. They stopped in the Silicon Valley, stopped having offices, and they had those room divider things with paneling, what have you. Anyway, you could look over them, what have you. That got to be popular. I think it probably still is. Anyway, I'm showing my age. But the interesting thing was when I turned the corner to look at the Mac on a desk, I started laughing out loud. Now, remember, we're in the Temple of Wozniak, right? I'm laughing a lot. I mean, it's not that you can't laugh in the place, but it just, you got to consider the environment, okay? And I'm laughing out loud and real loud. I can't help myself because it's ridiculous. The Mac, it was a gray color. It had an 8-inch diagonal screen. Think about how small that is. It's ridiculous. The smartphones are nearly as large. And it had a 4.5-inch floppy drive, no hard drive. It had a Chiclets keyboard. If people understand, the old Chiclets keyboard would be a keyboard with tiny keys on it. They aren't a normal IBM Selectric or anything. A Chiclets keyboard and no letter quality printer. In other words, you had a dot matrix printer, which you can't send out professional letters and business letters with a dot matrix printer. It's ridiculous. So here was supposedly an office computer. And actually, you couldn't see that, but it had no interior fan on it. So it's burning up, too. So I'm laughing really loud. I can't help myself. So my friend is taking me out of the building, and as soon as he got out the door, because he was sort of being quiet and mute and being apologetic as he's carrying this crazy man out the door. So I go out the door, and he starts laughing really loud, and he says to me, he said, well, quite frankly, I told you it looked like 2 6-packs stacked on top of each other. And it was just hilarious because therein lies the issue about the valley in a nutshell, too. I coined the phrase, if it barely works, sell it. And that was a good example of that, you see. So if you can't scale things, you can't really see what they look like. You don't really understand that. So that's a little bit about the economic balance that was going on in the valley at one time, or imbalance, as I say, because the quality control wasn't really there. And they were just selling things, and that ruined the whole concept of the Silicon Valley in the first place. That became a big issue. So going back to the whole economic balance, it's very important that we learn to comprehend that in terms of demand side and supply side economics. Now, I know that becomes an issue because the economists are usually considered, you're brilliant people, and most people don't know what they're talking about. And that's probably was in my mind, too, when I was majoring in college, that I didn't really study economics because they're not really they're considered they're touted as being intelligent, but people really don't understand that. And to the point that John Maynard Keynes, who's an eminent economist during the pre-Depression days and afterward, who wrote the book Money, Interest, and Employment, and the it was his magnum opus, and it was actually interpreted by other books and writers, but I read it like it was my Bible. I really understood it. And the main thesis in there, and it was talking about what we have today in terms of deficit spending. That was part of his premise, that a government can go in deficit and it doesn't matter. Like, you can be minus and it doesn't matter because they continually buy paper from the banks and create money. So it's not an issue if you go deficit. That's called deficit spending. That's what we're in today. But the main premise of the book was the marginal efficiency of capital. That means in the public, when I'm talking about that we can't really cure the solvency issue because of we don't have an approximate mathematics in banking, and that's a big deal because we can't go over a penny because then it'll cause an overdraft. And that is the issue. And the groups, we can't measure things exactly. See, and that's the same idea. Marginal efficiency of capital means that we can only have a marginal efficiency. An example would be, here's a really empirical example. And I've used this before. I've talked about it many times before. That at Fairchild Semiconductor years ago in Silicon Valley, which is a clean house for getting the silicon diodes would come on a disc. It looks like a CD, but a little bit smaller. And they would have like 100 discs in a styrofoam a carrier. They'd have these 100 disc layer, and then they would run them through. Ironically, it was styrofoam made out of plastic. We're talking about Silicon Valley, right? And they don't get me started, and you have already tonight, right? But anyway, so at the end of the run of the 100 wafers, they only expected to have 70 that went through the semiconductor clearinghouse, okay? And they only expected 70. So 70 out of 100 is a C average, right? 70%. So that was an example of the marginal efficiency of capital, which is the basic balance of economic society that you can only achieve. If you try to eke out any more than that, that's when you're getting the OCD, the obsessive compulsive disorders, and people being stressed out and what have you. Trying to push for efficiency or 100% is impossible. It doesn't work as a group. So when we learn, it's really like a balance. Like C is not average, but it would be considered a balance, like a neutral state. It's like most people come out of school with a C average. You know, people don't make straight A's. You know, in school, I mean, school isn't made for that. School wasn't made for knowledge. It wasn't made to succeed. It was made to put you in the factory and put you to work in the labor camp internationally, you see. And then you look at all these groups and elite groups and what have you. But they came out of college too, not necessarily A students. You know, the elite aren't necessarily geniuses and what have you. They just have a lot of money, and most of the time they're born into it and what have you. But you have to appreciate the fact that we're talking about a certain kind of knowledge. We have to inquisitive, you know, ask questions. You're not sure of something, ask a question. If you're not in a forum where you can do that, where if you can't communicate into a forum where it's an emotional issue, like the courtrooms nowadays, because, again, you're declared dead by the courtroom infrastructurally. Maybe even the judge doesn't even understand it presently because they get into this rhythm where they're really not paying attention to history, see, of what they're doing. And then all of a sudden somebody's kind of repositioning the court. Well, that upsets them sometimes, especially if a certain attitude. If you do things in a demure way, in a polite way, it's that old saying that goes, what is it? You can catch more flies with honey, right? In terms of being polite, I mean, politeness. And we kind of lose that sometimes, I think, in America, where people are lacking facilitation, being helpful sometimes. I think there is a current of that where goodness can reign if we try to nurture it, that nurturing that whole thing. So it becomes, it's back to this overwhelming process that we need to take things and slow things down a bit to address the issues. And it really is a matter of survival. And survival is the bottom line to things. And people say, well, you know, they're scamming me. They're taking my money. Well, are they really? You have to prove that. And that becomes the issue. I think sometimes it may appear that way. But as I said before, I think the malfeasance, the actual cold-blooded doing things to contrive to do things, I think is a very low percentage. People go into business not to take from people. They go into business to try to do their level best. Just like Blog Talk Radio and just like Mike Bennett with the strategies with the lottery strategies and what have you to become really a big mess. And we don't really want to do that. So what's the answer to that? How do you fix that? Well, I mean, these things are running online. I think it's amusing, but where is it going with that? Is it just I make that joke about this morning I had my UK group call. And of course, I don't believe in the Copernican theory of the planet issue. And there nowadays, there was somebody talking this week about the great secret online is the flat earth thing. And I went, oh, well, that's, of course, if you heard my shows and what have you, you know, I'm not really into that. But we were making the joke that they put so much tarmac down on the earth in terms of the roads and what have you. So, you know, the aliens are flying by and they see, oh, look at that planet over there. It's encased in tar, or just the roads, like tarmac is covering the entire earth. So that was a kind of a joke. You had to appreciate it to be there, I suppose. But anyway, so I really think we need to learn about the economic balance and to learn about the high level. It's all really about the money issue. See what I mean? If we could, but we're not at a level, in my opinion, to get to indirect trade. I've talked about that many times before in terms of what the American tribes were doing before they were overwhelmed by the Western Europeans that came in and overwhelmed the Indians with the medium of exchange. Okay, they came in there and forced them to do a medium and to cause a lot of issues, albeit they thought it was something really great to do, the medium of exchange, and they couldn't really understand the indirect trade where someone who had a talent in the tribe, and they would narrow their talent, they distill their talent into one of the needs categories of food, shelter, and clothing. For instance, if you were good at growing crops and what have you, they made you get into the foodstuff area, and you would be a farmer, and you would grow crops and what have you, and then you'd take your crops and put them into the wigwam. You see what I mean? So the wigwam and outlet. So the food, shelter, and clothing was where you would take your talent and put it in one of those categories, and then whatever you made in that category, you would put it into the wigwam, and then the people would avail themselves of that without buying these things. You see, they just took them, and they'd say, well, that's free. And how do we do that? Well, it's the nature of a mindset. You have to forget about the idea of money, and we just create things for the community, you see. And that's called indirect trade. It's the highest economic level. I've talked about it many times before. It's good to go over it and keep discussing it, because once we let go of that medium of exchange, and people won't suffer. They won't be starving to death outside of Argentinian grocery stores, and people are starving to death. Just give them some food, you see. They could go in and get it because it wouldn't be an issue about money. See, the whole money thing, they say it's the root of all evil. It is evil, but at the same time, it can be at a high level, but we're not at the high level with that presently. So that's why I work very hard to do that. And I do apologize for the soliloquy. But I've had some problems with the Blog Talk Radio methods and what have you, and so I'm trying to work that out. And I was able to do the 30 minutes this week instead of the 15. I don't even know how I did that. It was quite accidental on putting it on. You know, we've done probably since 2009. So if you do the math, we've almost been doing this for 8 years, and we do that once a week. You're talking about over 400 shows. But I do have a large archive, and people can avail themselves of that. And I appreciate that you doing that, because there's a lot of information. In a half hour, we can get next to nothing. I realize that. But we're trying to put out an energy of seeking truth to work together as a community and to understand it and not just take things, if we question things. In other words, if you're not sure of something, question it and try to get into a nurturing environment where people are helping each other to understand the truth and not sitting there watching you and making as if you're going to fail. See, that's a real problem we have. We have people that are supervisory looking at people to fail and not nurturing the environment. You see, the nurturing environment means we'll grow towards a golden age, and that's what's important. We moving towards a high level of consciousness in a golden age time is very important. We can do that if we nurture the environment. If we're not nurturing the environment, it's going to be a complete failure. So we need to do that, and it's very critical and very important that we have that attitude. So that's what I attempt to bring to the table each week, is this idea of a nurturing attitude that, like Shakespeare said, nature nurture, and we need to do that. Nature does it, and we will do it. Also, nature can be cold-blooded, but at the same time, there's a feeling of growth, you see. If it's decay, then that's wrong. You know, we can't be in that point of failure. We need to commend and stop condemning people, and that's a state of maturity. See, if we do that, if we're doing the maturity and not turning away and trying to be helpful and a truthful attitude in terms of that, not necessarily positive thinking, because I don't want to get into that like a Norman Vincent Peale or some of these motivator types, you know. I mean, it's positive, it's good, there's a lot of goodness in the whole thing, but then they have their hand out. See, we know that I'm not selling anything. I'm not here as a pitch man. I'm not here trying to sell anything. And to me, that's extremely important, because then my motivation is pure. If I have pure motivation, I'm not trying to twist your arm to get into your pocketbook or your wallet, you know, to take your money. So I don't sell anything. I have books I give away online, and people know that. So I think it's appreciated a great deal, because there's no undertow that what's he selling, how much, you know, combien, you know, in en français. You know, I'm not doing that, see. And so I think that pure motivation of now you don't have to think about, because you know when you go online, it's always how much, you know. Somebody starts yammering about stuff, and you're waiting for them to drop the shoe to tell you it costs $9.95 or whatnot, and that becomes the issue, because people are always thinking about it. With me, you don't have to think about that. Just let it go. I don't ask for contributions. I don't ask for donations. If I have contributions, donations, I will give them back, you know. So it's an issue that doesn't exist with me, you see. I don't have to make excuses for taking your money like people do. Okay, I can't begrudge the fact that people are trying to make a living. That's the nature of the economic cycle that we're in right now. I understand that. So I'm not saying you can't do that, but I'm just saying in terms of my motivation is pure, purer than the ones that are trying to get your money, okay? So I'm down to the last 90 seconds. I really appreciate your attention this week, and I want to send out my very best to the Blog Talk Radio people. If I can be of any support, please notify me at grantandtaylorhughes@gmail.com. I really appreciate what I do here, and I appreciate everybody and the journeymen that follow me each week, and also the new people that come online and listen. I really appreciate you guys as well. It's important that we do this work each week, and I'm getting down to the last minute of the show. And I'll be back next week, and I'll leave some empty space here, because this is Grantham Taylor Hughes for my show each week, the Grantham Taylor Hughes Show. And again, thank you, and have a really great week. Everybody have a great week, and goodbye for now.